Some years back, Peter Hillary and a few buddies were climbing the treacherous west ridge of Mount Everest. Few climbers have ever made it to the top along that route. Then, disaster struck.
And suddenly the weather at 27,000 feet started changing. Strong winds started blowing in on us. So four of us turned around to start coming down. And sadly, one of them tripped. We were all soloing, just with our axes and our crampons on our boots. And he just flew past my shoulder. I was very lucky he didn't hit me, in fact. But there was nothing we could do for him. So I turned around to start coming back up again. And then, to my absolute horror, I heard this sort of thudding sound, a bit like, you know, when stones skip across the water. And I looked up, and my great old climbing buddy, Fred Fromm, from Queensland, Australia, was just flying through the air at 80 miles an hour. And he just skipped past me and disappeared down the North Face.
That's a scene from the documentary film Surviving Everest. Peter Hillary is the son of Sir Edmund Hillary. He and the great Sherpa Tenzing Norgay were the first men to summit Mount Everest. 50 years later, National Geographic sponsored a new expedition with the sons of those original climbers. Both Peter Hillary and Jamling Norgay are experienced climbers. In fact, Jamling was on the famous IMAX expedition in 96, when 9 climbers died on Everest. After that disaster, Norgay promised his family that he'd never again go all the way to the top. Steve Paulson talked with Hillary and Norgay about their recent climb and what it's like to follow in the footsteps of their famous fathers. Jamling says his father actually tried to keep him off Everest.
You know, he never encouraged us to climb. When I asked him on several occasions to pull some strings so I can climb Everest, he flatly said no. You know, he said he climbed so we wouldn't have to.
He didn't want you to climb simply because it was so dangerous?
Yes, he didn't want us to climb for work. You know, most of the Sherpas that climb today are climbing because of work, to put bread and butter on the table for the family. And he did not want us to do that, so he wanted to give us the best education possible so we can continue our lives in some other careers.
Well, I can understand that. In the documentary, a number of Sherpas talk about how difficult their lives are.
From camp to base, each Sherpa does it 15 to 20 times. And from camp to South Gol, each Sherpa does it around 10 times.
You will never see a Sherpa climbing this mountain out of pleasure. They climb because it's a livelihood.
It is very difficult for my children when I'm away. I'm usually away for several months.
So why did you end up climbing after all, in spite of your father's suggestions?
Well, I think it was my destiny to climb this mountain. I knew I was going to climb this mountain one day. You know, I did not know when. It was just a matter of time. I mean, I enjoy being in the outdoors, just being out there in the snow and rock and ice. You know, it's a great feeling.
Peter, what about you? Did you grow up climbing mountains?
Well, I certainly did. I mean, the Hillary family was a very outdoor family. In our school holidays, we always went camping and adventuring, skiing, climbing. As I grew older, I started developing my own interest in climbing and started off climbing rocks and graduated to the Southern Alps in New Zealand. And by the time I was in my mid-20s, I had started climbing in the Himalayas and already was starting to think maybe I would, after all, go to Mount Everest myself.
Tell me about your climb on Everest in the year 2002. How difficult was this?
Look, a climb of Everest is a difficult undertaking. It is a colossus, the highest mountain on Earth. It's over 29,000 feet high. It penetrates into the jet stream. You have to acclimatize slowly but surely over the many weeks that you're climbing on the mountain so that you can, in fact, climb to these extreme elevations. I mean, to give you an idea that, in fact, if we were lifted in a decompression chamber to 29,000 feet, we would remain conscious for around 90 seconds before sort of blacking out and falling down on the floor. I mean, that's the atmosphere that you're moving in up there, and your body needs a lot of time to adjust, to acclimatize to that sort of elevation. But it is a very steep and exposed climb. much of the climb, all you'd have to do is make one tiny mistake, and in 1 second you'll be flying through the air and there'll be no coming back.
What kinds of mistakes do you have to watch out for? I mean, just a wrong step here or there?
Well, absolutely. A wrong step, hooking your feet together with your crampon boots, not clipping into the rope correctly. And in fact, a British climber did exactly that when we were on the mountain. He was up at Camp 3 at 24,000 feet, wasn't properly clipped onto the rope, and he slipped. And literally on this boilerplate, hard, blue-green ice, you've got 1 second to arrest the fall, and he failed to do that. And then you're suddenly accelerating as you bound down the face, getting faster and faster until you're just flying. And sadly, he died.
Hmm. Now, one thing that I really appreciated about this film, Surviving Everest, was its depiction of the role of Sherpas. Basically, without the Sherpas, it would be impossible to climb Everest. And I'm wondering if you can explain the role that they play in these expeditions on Everest.
Sherpas are basically sort of the unsung heroes of Everest and the Himalayas, because Sherpas do all the work on the mountain, from fixing the ropes, the lines, the ladders, carrying supplies, stocking all the supplies to the high camps.
And they carry incredible loads.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these people carry up to, some of them carry about 60 kilos, 40 kilos down below. And on the mountain, they carry maybe about 25 kilos, and which is a lot of weight, especially thinking about climbing above 26,000 feet, where there's only one-third of the oxygen that's down here at sea level. Like my father once said, that climbing up there above these mountains, it's almost like putting a garbage bag over your head and running the marathon down here.
Now, there's a lot of lore about Everest among the Sherpas in particular. I mean, this mountain is really considered a living being, isn't it?
Yes, we believe for centuries, Everest is what we call Chomolungma, or the mother goddess of the world. It's a very holy mountain for us. We believe that mountains are the places where the gods live. They're very sacred. We have religious ceremonies that we perform to most of these mountains every year. When we climb, you don't conquer these mountains. The mountain will let you on it and then give you a slight opportunity to be on the summit, and then you have to get out of there as soon as possible.
Now, Peter, there are scenes in this documentary film where it really shows how rough it is to climb Everest. I mean, partly it's an endurance test, partly it's a matter of dealing with food that might be bad and dealing with weather that sweeps in. And you got pretty sick at one point, didn't you?
Yes, I had some sort of gastroenteritis, and then I was very sick, and I became hypothermic and dehydrated, and it was probably quite affected by the altitude.
God, I don't know how many times I went out to vomit. It sounded like it was all dry heaves. I must admit, when I called out to you, I was pretty scared.
Yeah, oh, f***ing A. Anyone would be. Yeah, we'll get you through this.
But that's all part of it, I mean, one of the things about climbing this mountain is that it's not easy. I mean, really, that's part of the drive to go up there. You are going to have to deal with illness and discomforts and not wanting to eat, not being able to sleep. And I think it's the uncertainty of the mission that really is so attractive about going on a great climb, particularly on the world's greatest mountain, Mount Everest. In fact, after our first attempt, when we got knocked back, we weren't sure if we were going to make it. Our film crew had nearly been killed in the ice fall with these massive collapsing blocks of ice, and there was a lot of talk about what we should do.
There's an unbelievable scene in the film of showing the winds whipping one of the camps, and I guess the winds were up to around 60 miles an hour, just flattening some of the tents.
Well, look, they certainly were. I mean, there were some very strong winds in that storm. In fact, they got up to about 80 knots. But you need to remember that, again, we're on a mountain whose summit is at 29,000 feet, and the jet stream winds that blast over the top of it from time to time can blow on occasion up to 300 knots. That's about 380 miles an hour. So, you've got to be in the right place at the right time on this mountain. You certainly can't be caught out when it gets up into those sort of speeds.
It's incredible. The wind that's blowing up towards the summit, you can hear it roaring down at Camp 2 at 21,000 feet. We usually call it sort of the train. We always say whether the train is running today or not, because the sound of it sounds like a train just zipping through this place.
What's it like when you get near the top? I mean, the last few thousand feet. How difficult is it to walk at that point?
It's a pretty oxygen-deprived environment. You are quite hypoxic. People literally take steps one or two or three at a time, and then they just sort of lumber forward onto their ice axes, leaning there, hyperventilating deeply in that very rarefied air. Your thought processes, every process, is similarly retarded. You know, you've just got no energy left. You haven't slept properly for many, many days. But something inside you just keeps you going. It's that determination that you are going to keep forging higher onto the summit of the mountain. And I must say, when you do get up there, it is an incredible moment. I must say, it was very emotional for me.
Well, there's this amazing scene, Peter, when you have reached the top and you have a phone with you and you call your dad, Edmund Hillary, one of the guys who first climbed Everest, and you talk with him when you're sitting on the summit.
Hello? Dad, it's Peter. We're on the summit. Can you hear us?
Hello, are you there, Peter?
Well, we're on the summit of Everest. We've been here for 40 minutes.
Yeah, how was the hill recep?
It's really steep and really exposed, and what you did, well, nearly 50 years ago, it's just incredible. I mean, we had fixed ropes all the way. You guys cut steps basically into the unknown and up that jolly Hillary step. Anyway, Dad, don't worry. I'm not going to do it again.
You know, what I love about that is it's such an amazing contrast to what my father and Tenzing experienced back in 1953, and it shows just how much our world has changed, because those guys had to climb back down the mountain to tell their fellow climbers that, yes, they had reached the summit.
Well, the other thing that I found amazing is there are scenes when your party is nearing the summit and there is actually a fixed rope that you can hold on to along the ridge. I mean, obviously, it's still treacherous, but there is a rope there. And I was thinking back to what it must have been like for your two fathers when they went up there. I mean, obviously, there was none of this. It just looked incredibly treacherous.
Well, it is. It's a knife-edge ridge. I mean, if you slip, you will just fly into either Nepal. I mean, we're talking sort of geopolitical exposure here, either into Nepal or down the other side into Tibet, and there's no coming back from those falls.
What do you think was hardest for that first expedition, and I mean, the first one that made it in 53 that Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay were on? What was hardest about their climb?
I think the hardest thing was not knowing what lied ahead of them. They were basically walking into the unknown, pushing the limits. You know, today we can climb Everest because we know it's possible. How many liters, per minute you need of oxygen, what kind of equipment you need, what kind of ropes are to be fixed up there.
And they had no map to go up the mountain. I mean, they didn't know what was ahead.
They just had to follow the ridge and go as high as possible, looking for the route to go up.
What I think was so amazing about it was the spirit that these two guys had. They were both on fire. They were wonderful alpinists. They were incredibly good at what they were doing. They were very strong. But, again, it's the most important thing is that motivation, the psychological component. And I think in many ways both our fathers were at a stage in their lives where they were almost unstoppable. This was their time, and they were going to the top. And, of course, the rest is history.
Peter Hillary and Jamling Norgay talking with Steve Paulson. The documentary film Surviving Everest airs on the National Geographic Channel.